thank God for it. You know, I sometimes think if you've been a Christian more than 15 minutes, you probably get in that point where sometimes you just get tired. You get weary. You get worn down. And you wonder why. Lord, why are you letting this affliction come on me? Why are my children behaving the way they are? Why is my spouse rebelling when I'm trying to serve the Lord? And you get frustrated. And sometimes you go and you start to retreat from God. And it's a normal reaction because Satan puts that thought in your head. That's the God you serve, and he won't even help you when you need him the most. You know what? Satan's a liar and the truth's not in him. But I serve a God who has answered every prayer. Maybe not the way I wanted, but he's answered every prayer. He's never let me down. He's always been there with me. If we'll just take the Word of God, our answers are there. I sit sometimes and I think about Pastor and all he's been through in the last year. And you know, I shouldn't say pastor, pastors. Because where one is afflicted, they're both afflicted. Where one hurts, they both hurt. But your word today, Pastor, 2 Timothy, you know where we're going. Chapter 1. Pull your swords out if you have them, folks. That'd be your Bibles. We're going to start at verse 10. Now, I'll tell you what, let's step on back to verse 8 because that's just good stuff. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this is your word, Pastor. To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I will also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. The devil tried to strike him dead. The devil tried to take him out of the picture. The devil lost. Is he where he wants to be? No. Is he where he should be? No, he's ahead of that. God is not through with that man. But it's easy to get caught up in the woe me. It's easy to get caught up and say, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me? I serve you. You know, the fact is, sometimes we have to get back to the basics. When I say the basics, I mean the very basics. There's a story of a church, and a pastor had invited a guest. And after the introduction was made, he asked this man to come up and say a few words. And he told him, the audience, that this is a man who had been a part of his life for many years, for this was his pastor. The old man rose from the high back chair walks slowly with great effort to the podium without a note or any written paper. He grabbed the podium and steadied himself. And then quietly and slowly he began to speak. He said, "When I was asked to come here today and talk to you, your pastor asked me to tell you what was the greatest lesson ever learned in my 50 plus years of ministry. I thought about it a few days and it boiled down to just one thing that made the most difference in my life. This one thing has sustained me through the trials and the tribulations, but it's the one thing that I could always rely on when tears and heartbreak and pain and fear and sorrow paralyzed me. The only thing that would comfort me was this verse. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to Him belong. We are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." When he finished, the church was quiet. You could actually hear the old man's footsteps as he shuffled back to his chair. No one will ever forget it. A pastor once stated that it's the adults who love the children's hymns, especially "Jesus Loves Me." Of course, they do it only for the children. And it's the adults who sing the loudest and the most sincere. Why is that? Well, now they have a senior version. And it goes something like this. "Jesus loves me, this I know. Though my hair is white as snow, though my sight is growing dim, still He bides, me trust in Him. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Though my steps are oh so slow, with my hand in His I'll go. On through life, let come what may, He'll be there to lead the way." And again, "Yes, Jesus loves me. When the nights are dark and long, in my heart He puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am near. Yes, Jesus loves me. When my work on earth is done, and life's victories have been won, He will take me home above, then I'll understand His love. Yes, Jesus loves me." And the last verse. "I love Jesus. Does He know? Have I ever told Him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love Him every day." And I want you to say the last part with me. "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." Why do we have to make things so complicated? We learn these stories, we learn these hymns, these children's hymns, And they stick with us. They're in our soul. And you know, sometimes it's in the darkest hour of the night that we have to rely on the simplest things. We don't need a 14-point sermon. We don't have to have a theological degree. We simply have to realize that Jesus loves us. And the rest is just icing on the cake. So many times, and I include myself in this, things don't go the way we expect them to go. And we want to blame God. And even then, yes, Jesus loves us. Isn't that amazing? People say, well, I don't understand how that can happen. Well, let me ask you a question. If your child messes up, do you disown them? If your child makes a mistake, do you say, that's it? Pack up, get out. No. No, you don't. We can't understand the depth of the love that our Lord has for us. That's not possible. But let us always fall back in our darkest hour to the things that are most simple to remember. Yes, Jesus loves us. You may say, well, this is a stupid way to start a sermon. Well, there's three things that you need to remember. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. And if you still need a third, go check out the first and second one, okay? That's it. You know, Jesus loves us. And if nothing else, if I keep repeating that enough, you're going to walk out of here and people say, well, what was your sermon about? Jesus loves us. This we know. And he kept repeating it, oh, so slow. Well, if that's what it takes, that's what we're going to do. But I want to tell you something. He does love us. I want us to focus today on whom do we believe. So many times I try to do things and it will flop. You know that other half, that help meet that God gave you? Don't you just love it when they grab you by the back of the head and rub your nose in it and say, well, did you pray about that before you did it? No. Well, how do you expect it to work? Okay, fine. You know what? God gave her to me for a reason. And I'm blessed. But it's so many times that we don't call on the Lord's name. And then we want to give him the blame. Well, it's not him at all. He's never let us down. Whom do you believe? Do you believe in your own abilities? Because I'll tell you, for me, when I'm relying on my own abilities, I come up way short. Things don't ever work. I don't know about you, but that's the way it is for me. And in our darkest hour, again, what do? I already told you, we draw away from God. The very light, the very power that gives us the strength to go on through it. Somewhere along the line, Satan has tried to put that lie in our mind that if you follow Christ, you're not going to have difficulties. They persecuted our Savior. Are we better than him? Of course not. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations. But the key is we're going through them. If we keep trying to do it on our own, it's not going to happen. But you've got to ask that question. In whom do I believe? Well, but you don't know the financial difficulties I'm in right now. Who do you believe? Who's your source? Is it your job? They can't help you. They can give you a weekly paycheck and nothing else. Whom do you believe? If you're in a financial bind, call on the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean he's going to give you, just like the bulletin today, Doesn't mean you're going to win $1.5 million lottery that you didn't enter. You know what? And hopefully he'll give you the wisdom that you're not going to send the $1,500 either. Lord, help those who do. We all want something for nothing. But the fact is, sometimes we have to go through difficulties in order to learn the lessons that the Lord wants us to learn. But it's not that he doesn't love us. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's because he does love us and he wants us to learn, to grow, and to begin be content where we are. Isn't it amazing? I know when Jody and I were younger, I mean, you know, we were young and dumb and our hair was on fire. And man, I mean, we were just ready to just to tackle the world. Got to have everything and got to have it now. Tell me this isn't the youngsters today. All of a sudden, they turn 18 years old and they feel like they have to have that new car. They have to have that new gun. They have to have that new whatever. They got to have a brand new house. They got to have it all. And it's like, you don't even have a job. How are you going to get all that? You're looking up the wrong tree if you're looking at this one. The fact is, they, like us, like we were, felt like they had to have the best of everything right now. Well, we did it through old plastic. Mr. Plastic, put it on plastic. Buy it now, pay for the next 25 years. But you know what? There was a problem with that. When we got it home, it didn't satisfy anything. It didn't mean anything to us. That thing we had to have meant nothing. What we were lacking was a relationship with Jesus Christ. So many times we're looking for God to intercede on behalf of a situation, but just like with our bills, you know what? You got to pay the piper. You reach a point where the credit cards are maxed out, and then all of a sudden the bills start coming due, and you're going, oh, we really need to tighten up. Oh, yeah, we had to tighten up a lot. But it was a lesson God was allowing us to learn, and we weren't even dedicated Christians then. I say dedicated, we were the Seventh-day Adventist crowd. You'll catch it later on, absent. But we would probably attend church once every 3 or 4 months just to feel like we were filling a block, but we didn't have that relationship with Christ. So the very thing we needed the most, we withdrew from. So God allowed us to go through this period where we struggled to make our bills. But you know what? We learned from it. Somewhat. She learned to take the credit card away from me, so, you know. Oh, boy. I opened that door, didn't I? But the question is, even in that situation, who do you put your trust in? Whom do you believe? I've used this illustration before, but I want to go into detail on it a little bit more. And it's the legend of the Cherokee Indians' rite of passage. For a Cherokee boy to become a man in their society, he has to go through a testing. His father will take him into the deepest part of the forest, deepest part of the woods. Now, if he lives in an area where there are no woods, usually they'll take him to the highest mountaintop. Any place where they are absolutely, completely alone. He'll blindfold that child. And he'll put him in the woods by himself. He's required to sit alone in that forest or on that mountaintop all night long by himself. Until he can feel the warmth of the morning rays on his face, he must sit there. He can't cry out to get help from anyone. But once he survives the night, he becomes a man. If he removes that blindfold, he would not be allowed to go through it again. And he will be a failure in their society's eyes. Imagine a young 9, 10, 11-year-old boy. You may think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, but suddenly you're out there all by yourself. You hear every tree as it creaks. You hear every leaf as it rustles. And your thought is that an animal? Is it coming after me? If you live in an area where they have coyotes or wolves, you hear them howl. You hear owls as they hoot. And you hear those sounds that you don't even know what they are. How terrifying it must be. And the sheer terror has to be balanced with your desire to succeed. Your desire to go back into your society and be considered a man. All night long, you notice it said that you can't cry out to someone else for help. It didn't say you couldn't cry. And I want to tell you something. No matter how tough you may be, when you're under that kind of stress, I'm sure that's one of the many reactions. You probably start out at first, you might whistle. Then when your mouth goes dry, you can't whistle anymore, maybe you try to sing. When that work stops working, then you finally cry. The fear becomes so much that you probably sit there and shake and cry. And you call out and ask your God, why? Then finally, what seems like a lifetime, the warmth of the sun finally hits your face. As you feel the warmth, you reach up and remove your blindfold. And there on the stump beside you sits your father. He was there the whole night, protecting and watching his son. Just as the young Cherokee boy must go through this rite of passage to become a man in their society, we too, as Christians, have to go through a rite of passage. We have to humble ourselves and call on the name of Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's no shortcuts. You can't do it because mommy and daddy were in the church, so I'm automatically in. It doesn't work that way. You have to go through the experience yourself. You have to call on the name of Christ. You have to take a step of faith. You can't do it as a result of your own abilities. You can't do it based upon what you think. You have to call upon the name of Jesus Christ and what he thinks. Folks, right now you can turn on the television stations, radio stations, and it amazes me how many so-called Christian... Hello? God? It amazes me how many so-called Christians are out there preaching a gospel that doesn't line up with this word. And it's not even remotely close. They take this word and they pervert it and twist it. And then people come out with a skewed view of what Christianity is all about. Well, again, in whom do you believe? What do you believe? I believe this word of God. I believe what God said. Why? Because so far He's proven it to me. Now, there are times that I thought, well, God, You said this would happen and it didn't happen. And then He kind of reminds me, Tim, did you hold up your end of the deal? How many times are those conditional statements, we get the last part of it. We get that reward. We don't look at it. It says, if then you'll receive this. I always like skipping over that if then, because that means I have to do something. Well, God reminds me that if then still exists, so if I'm not doing that, I can't expect the reward. But nevertheless, He doesn't kick me to the curb. He says, okay, Tim, let's go back on that stump again out in the middle of the woods. I'm still there with you. I'm not going to let you go. I'm protecting and watching over, but we got to get through this night together. It's so important that we as Christians realize that we have faith in Jesus Christ and we stand on that faith. But that faith is based upon the very Word of God. When darkness envelops each one of us as we go through our own trial, here's a thought to consider. I don't know where the quote came from, but I really like it. I will love the light, for it shows me the way. Yet I will endure the darkness, for it shows me the stars. The light shows us the way, but I'll endure the darkness because it shows me the stars. I want you to think about that for a second. If we never went through a trial or we never went through a tribulation or hardship, would we really know how gracious God truly is? Would we really know how good He truly is to us? No. We have people who hate the rain. Oh my gosh, what would the world be like if we didn't have the rain? It would be a dry desert wasteland. They hate the rain. Thank God for the rain. All we have to do is look at the corn crop this year and think, wish we'd had more rain. But you know what? Everything happens for a reason. When we come out of our darkness, we should be able to look and see our Father sitting on the stump next to us, our Heavenly Father. When we come out of the trial, we should be able to see that He's been keeping the beast off of us, that He's been protecting and watching over us. The only way we can know that is if we have that relationship with Him. So many times we try to do it our way. We try to do things and then we proclaim, yeah, I'm a Christian. And we're only Christians on Sunday. Or we're only Christians when it's convenient and that everybody else is too. There's a whole lot of Christianity in our society today, sometimes in the media, sometimes in the schools, and it's a jump on the bandwagon type mentality. They just recently had a See You at the Polls where the children can gather around the flagpole at their school and they can pray and seek God's face. You and I can't go there and do that, but the children can. The unfortunate thing of that is a lot of kids only join up for that day or maybe a week later because it's cool. It's something new that is different. And they think that some of the other kids are doing it, so I'm going to do it too. But it doesn't last. Why? Because they don't know who they believe in. They're just going for whatever's popular that week. Micaiah sent me a text message and said they're doing a after the see you at the poll, they're starting to do a Bible study in school. Kids can do it. We can't. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God that He has put that spirit in one of the children to say, hey, let's quit reading all this garbage out here and let's start looking at the real Word. Let's look at what's really going to happen. Let's develop a relationship with this God that we supposedly serve. And through it, I'll guarantee you, children are going to be saved. Praise God that He put that spirit in someone who had the courage to say, I don't care what the rest of school's doing. I'm coming out there and I'm going to glorify God. And whether it's myself or whether it's 100, we're going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they know who they serve. But can I count on God? Yes, you can. How can you be so sure? Because His Word tells me you can. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed. Oh, that I have what? Committed unto Him. And this is a problem for us. Lord, I want You to come and bless this house, but stay out of my bedroom. Stay out of my TV. What I watch doesn't matter. I still go to church. Stay off my bookshelf. I only read those books for research. What is this filth that's sweeping the nation right now, this 50 Shades of Grey stuff? I don't even know. I haven't read the book. Don't want to. Won't pick it up. But just the chatter that I hear from the ladies that I work with, it's filth. It's written pornography. And it is sweeping the nation. People can't get enough of it. I've not read it. Don't want to. But people are just really getting into that. What if God were to walk into your house today and look, and there on your bookshelf is your 50 Shades? Wouldn't you be proud? You think that would work? I only read it for research purposes, so I would know what to pray against God. Doesn't work that way. It's like the pastor says, well, the only reason we have the pornographic channel at home is so that I could see what to pray against. Not going to work. Not going to work. Whom do you believe? I believe this word right here. If we don't commit our lives and the things in our lives to God, then you're basically saying, I give You this much. I'm asking for this much blessing, but I'm only going to give You this much. How much blessing do you think you're going to get? About this much? What you commit to Him? And then we want to get mad at God? Can't do that. God's working with whatever you give Him to work with. But you don't understand. Yes, I do. I've been there. I struggle with it every day. As we're humans, we're going to struggle with it. Because there's things that we start doing on our own and we get halfway into it and we go, oh, I didn't even pray about this. Well, maybe God will bless it anyway. That's like walking up, taking a pistol out of your pocket, shooting at a target without looking, and then walking up and drawing a circle around it and say, look, I hit a bullseye. Shoot first, aim later. It doesn't work that way. But we as Christians do it all the time. Did you pray about it? No. But maybe God will bless it anyway. And then we're surprised when it doesn't work. How about you say, Lord, how would you like me to do this? How can I glorify you by doing this act? What can I do to glorify you? Well, you know, but I've called on God before, and I felt like he told me something, and it didn't happen. Excuse me. Romans 3 and 4 says, indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. So, if you thought God was telling you something, and you followed up on it, and it didn't happen, one or two things happened. One, it wasn't God talking to you. Or two, you didn't hold up your end of the deal. Who's guilty of not holding up your end of the deal? Oh, y'all a bunch of liars. Hold your hands up, every one of you. Look at him, boy, y'all in church too. All right, the altars are now open. Neil's up, he's like, all right, here I go. No, you know what? It's true though, we all are. There's so many times that God said, hey, I want you to go over here and talk to this person. Ooh, I'm not good at that stuff. Mm-mm. Send the pastor. That's what he gets paid for. Send the pastor there. You are the pastor. Is this thing still on? Got quiet here. Yeah, you are the pastor. When God gives you a word to go speak to someone, you are the pastor. How many of you have your red stones with you today? Anybody? I see a couple hands. That's good. By the way, if you didn't get one, it's just a little red glass drop. But it's a way to testify. I actually had four of them out at work on Friday. And a big old burly biker dude comes in all tatted up, got them all over his neck and his face, and he's like, hey, dude, what's them red things? I said, I'm glad you asked that. I said, that represents the blood of Jesus Christ and how it was shed on Calvary so that you could be saved if you'll just call on his name. Would you like one? And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, I think I would. So now I have three. Folks, back there is a jar full of them. I want you to take the one you have, and I want you to give it away. I don't care if you're standing there talking to somebody. Be a distraction. I want you to be a distraction. If you're sitting there going, so how you been? Everything going all right? So what you been up to? And just rub them together, get a couple of them. And they'll be like, what are those things? I'm glad you asked that. See, that's the blood of Jesus Christ, and it was shed on Calvary so that you could be saved. Grab you a handful. And if they run out, I'll get you more. It's an easy testimony tool. Use it. These are so easy to get. We're making them available to you. Use them for God's glory. It doesn't mean that you have to go out there and build a full-blown relationship with that individual. It means you're planting seeds. Guess what? It's not your responsibility to water it unless God tells you. It's your job to plant the seeds when God tells you to plant it. Now, if he tells you, and no, that was not one of these that I put in my mouth. It was mint. You heard the story about the preacher, didn't you? He normally preached for about 15 minutes. One night he got up and he preached. Finally, when the service was over, he finally concluded it. The deacons had him back at the office. Pastor, now hold on. You normally preach 15 minutes. We've gotten accustomed to that. What is a big idea of preaching for an hour and a half? He said, guys, let me tell you. He said, it was an accident. He says, I normally grab a breath mint, and he said, I put it in my mouth, and when that mint is gone, I know it's time to end the service. He said, but this morning, right as I got to the church, a button came off my coat, and I put it in there in my pocket. And he said, I reached in and grabbed that button instead, and he said, I threw it in my mouth, and he said, I didn't realize. And he said, that thing never did dissolve. Could you imagine if I did that with one of these? That'd take a while, wouldn't it? I could tell that's what she was thinking, too. Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. What? When? Before time began? Hebrews 6 and 18. It is impossible for God to lie. What is that, Scott? True. You really believe God won't lie? God won't lie. It's not in Him to lie. He's not capable of lying. But then you have the other side of that coin, the father of lies. Oh, Slewfoot himself. Truth isn't in him. He doesn't have the capability to tell the truth. If you desire to make a difference and to be an influence in this life of yours, the only way you can do that is through the power of Jesus Christ. But you have to know who you serve. If you only time you open your Bible is when you come to church on Sunday, you're going to fall way short, folks. That's just all there is to it. Well, sometimes I have a hard time understanding that this, thou, and thus stuff. You know what? I did too. That's why I jumped away from King James and went to New King James. For my birthday, I was blessed with another Bible that Jody and her mother bought me, and it's an NIV Message Bible parallel. That's cool. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. It's still hard for me to give up my New King James. Guess what? I have absolutely nothing but the utmost respect for those who prefer the King James. It's not defective. It's just I don't speak the King's English very well. Guess what? Find you a Bible you can read. I don't care what kind it is. As long as it's a Christian Bible, find you a Bible you can read. There are Bibles out there that try to take the gender out of our Heavenly Father. If you get a hold of one of those, come to me, I'll buy it from you and burn it for you and give you your money back. He's our Heavenly Father. Not our heavenly great spirit. There's a gender-free Bible out there. Please don't get one of those. God created man first for a reason. It was in His image. Try not to get caught up in this version is right and this version is wrong. The NIV is not the non-inspired version, as so many people like to say it. There are things that are biblically correct in the NIV Bible that you can say wasn't correct in the King James. And you say, well, there you go, you're saying the Bible was wrong. No, I'm saying that the knowledge that they gained when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls changed some of the writings. Not the meaning. The meaning's never changed. Brother, let me ask you a question. Thou goest this afternoon? Huh? You going somewhere this afternoon? Which one's easier to understand? Use the one that works for you. But the main thing is get one. Don't let it lay on your counter until next Sunday. Pick it up, blow the dust off of it, make it look like you know, open it up, make it look like you've been using it. Get one and use it and read it. And when you do, this Father in heaven that we serve, ask the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to show us something every time we sit down to read it. Because you can do the Evelyn Woodhead's bedridden course and read the whole book. And if all you're doing is trying to get to the end, you won't remember anything out of it. If, however, you're asking the Holy Spirit to guide you, and you read a verse or a group of scripture, and you stop and you reflect on it, and you say, Lord, what have I read? The Spirit of God will reveal what you are to get out of that. And folks, I want to tell you something. You may say, well, I read that Bible once when I was younger, and that's enough. Really? Well, did you take a picture of your child when they were three and that's enough? Well, no, that's stupid. They're changing all the time. Hello, they're changing all the time. God's Word is the same. But I want to tell you, what you read today and how it affects you may be totally different than 4 years from now, because at that time you're going through a different crisis. You can read the exact same word, and it has an entirely different meaning. Well, now, hold on. How can that be? Because God knows what you need. Because the Spirit of God says, I know what you need, Tim Cooper. And today, when you read this, it's going to be different than what you read 4 years ago. Because today, you're going through a different crisis. Or tomorrow, or Wednesday, or Friday, you're going to be going through something different. But you need to know what this means today. So call on the one who cannot lie. Ask him to guide you in your study. But most of all, realize, when you call on the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will go through hardships. You will go through difficulties. But the big key is you will go through. There are so many who do not know Jesus Christ, are not serving the Lord, and difficulties and trials come, and they choose a path out that ought not be. So many today have lost hope, and they choose to take their own lives rather than to call on the name of Jesus Christ, because they just don't know. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we come to you and we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that as we have gone through and we've tried to do things on our own, that you have still been there with us. You have never let us down. And Lord, as we're in our darkest hour, if we would only look up, we would see that you are right there with us. Help us to understand, Lord, you have never lied to us. You have never let us down. You have always been there for us. But we have to call on the name of Jesus Christ. I want everyone in this congregation today, right now, keep your eyes closed. If you are going through a crisis, I want you to lift your hand up. Lift it up and set it right back down. I've seen every hand. God has seen every hand. And God knows your needs. He will never, oh, Shamarakito. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never, never, never. He is there for you. He sees your trials and your struggles. The Lord is saying, draw near to me. Commit those things to me. And I will handle them. But you have to let go. Don't lay it down at the altar and pick it back up. I thank God that Sister Laverne was obedient this morning. As I walked up here, my knee was throbbing. I feel no pain in my knee. Whether that is the anointing of God right now, and I can walk out of here and it can start throbbing again, it doesn't matter because I know I received my healing. I claim it now in the name of Jesus Christ. This crisis you're going through, claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. I want each one of us right now, just lift your hand up and say, we claim victory in Jesus' name. Now say it like you mean it. We claim victory in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we claim that victory. I ask you now, Lord, watch over this congregation. Be with them. Show yourself in a mighty way in each and every life. Lord, give us the opportunity to testify to the glory of God. Let us be a witness in a dark, lost world. And Lord, let us never forget you are always with us and in whom we trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.